Some of you may have seen this week that the Vatican released a document on human dignity. And that document kind of brings up some major topics from our world right now, some hot-button issues. Topics like poverty and war and the suffering of migrants. Topics like trafficking and abuse and violence. Topics like abortion and euthanasia and gender theory and surrogacy. And so these are certainly some hot-button issues that is being talked about around the globe right now. And some may even question why the church is even getting involved, because some of it seems very political. But you see, the church cares about human persons and therefore cares about human affairs. And because of that, there's often an overlap between religion and politics. But I thought it would be, it's particularly timely to maybe bring this up, because in the gospel today, we learn a bit about what it means to be human. And in particular, by looking towards the risen Christ. Jesus appears to his disciples in Luke chapter 24 today in our gospel. And this occurs, to put it into context, right after Jesus appears to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. So some of you may remember that story as Jesus appears to the two disciples walking towards Emmaus, and they don't recognize Jesus for who he is until afterwards, whenever they're sharing a meal together in the breaking of the bread. Then their eyes are open and they realize who Jesus is. So those two disciples are, you can imagine, filled with joy and excitement, and they run back to the apostles in the upper room to tell them about who they've seen. Jesus Christ, he's truly risen from the dead. So as they're sharing that news with them, and you can imagine the apostles are receiving that and maybe getting excited and interested, then suddenly Jesus appears to them. And remember, the doors are locked and Jesus just appears to them. And they imagine, they think at first, that he's a ghost, and they're terrified with fear. But what St. Luke emphasizes in his gospel today is the fact that Jesus has a physicality to him, that the risen Jesus is not a ghost. The risen Jesus is not some vision of some phantasm. It's not just some, you know, hallucination that the apostles were having. That the risen Jesus had flesh and bone. And that's emphasized by St. Luke today. That he first says, "See my hands and feet." And then he tells them, "Touch my hands and feet." And then he asks him, oddly enough, "Do you have anything to eat?" And they give him a piece of baked fish, and Jesus eats the fish in front of them. So all of these different senses, the sight, the touch, even Jesus eating, is all on display here to emphasize that the risen Jesus has a human body. And this is extremely important, because if you think about it, you know, even non-Christians, just even the ordinary person that might not be religious at all, a lot of times will kind of have this idea and this belief that the soul lives on after death. That's not really that uniquely Christian. This idea of an immortal soul is not particularly something new that the Christians bring to the table. But what is distinctly Christian, what is especially something that we hold on to and believe, is the fact that not only the soul survives after death, but that the body will reunite with the soul at the end of time. And you know, whenever I talk about this, sometimes even lifelong Catholics sometimes kind of give me like the head tilt, like, wait, what? Come again? So this is part of the teaching of the church. It comes from scripture. It comes from tradition. It's right there in the catechism, and we even say it in the creed every Sunday. Sometimes we don't realize it. But that at the end of time, our bodies will rise and reunite with our souls at the parousia, at the final, the last day of the world, whenever Jesus comes again. And we believe this first because Jesus' risen body points to that destiny for the human body, for all of us. But also St. Paul even mentions that the same one who rose Jesus from the dead will raise our mortal bodies also. Like, there's already this belief right there in the early church that the risen Jesus points to our destiny. This is incredibly significant, particularly because it gives us a better understanding of what it means to be human. And depending on what it means to be human has incredible significance on how we interact with other humans, because there's meaning underneath each human person, that the human person is a body and a soul composite. It's both. And at our death, the body and the soul temporarily separate. But at the end of time, they will reunite. In fact, in the Creed, whenever we say, "I believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come," actually we say, "I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come." The original Greek there is, "I look forward to the resurrection of the flesh," sarx in Greek, flesh. That just as God created the flesh and the Word became flesh and redeemed flesh, and just as the risen Jesus took on flesh, so too will we have flesh at the end of time. Flesh and bone. Our bodies will rise and reunite with our souls. And that will happen for all of us. And for those of us that find ourselves in eternal glory, that will make eternal glory all the more better, more glorious, more bodily. And those of us, God forbid, that find ourselves in eternal judgment, that will make it all the more worse. We bring this up to point to the reality that what we do with the body matters. There is such great meaning to the human body because our human body speaks to the human person. It reveals the human person. A lot of times we think that the body is just this temporary vessel that's disposable, and we'll just get rid of it one day and not have to worry about it anymore. Now, the good news is that Jesus is risen body is not exactly the same as his, you know, body that he had before he died. And we know this because of the way in which the disciples didn't recognize him at first, particularly the ones on the road to Emmaus. But even Mary Magdalene, if you remember at the tomb, didn't even recognize him at first. So it's not exactly the same, but there is some continuity because eventually they recognize him. And they recognize him for who he is. So there's enough continuity of the old, but there's also some type of transformation that brings us into a better, more glorified state of the human body. So at the end of time, when our bodies rise and into glory, the glorified body, it may be good news for some of you, because some of you might be thinking that elephant in the room kind of question, maybe you don't like your body. The good news is that it's going to be even better and more beautiful than what you have, regardless of what your situation is. But regardless, the point is, it will happen. And this speaks, this hints towards why the church cares so much about human affairs, because what we do with the body matters. We recognize that the human person has so much dignity. And that includes their human body. That it's not just a biological, disposable thing. It's a person made up of body and soul. And although the body and soul temporarily separate, they will reunite at the end of time. So all of these issues, like war and poverty and euthanasia and abortion and gender theory and abuse and violence and the suffering of peoples who are migrating, like all of these issues, and the list goes on and on, they matter. They matter because it involves human persons with bodies and souls. And these bodies and souls have so much value, so much meaning in them. So I challenge you to educate yourself on these issues. It's not just politics. A lot of times people think that the church is just trying to, you know, take a side for the sake of, you know, just being powerful. The church addresses these issues because they care. We care about human persons, and we're coming from the perspective of a worldview of understanding that this world has been created by God and redeemed by Christ. So there is a deep tradition of a lot of really smart people for thousands of years drawing upon Scripture and upon the tradition, the philosophical tradition rooted in Scripture, and applying it to our current realities. It's not just, you know, who has good rhetoric and power and money. It's like there is meaning behind all of this. So I challenge you to educate yourself on these issues. If you maybe didn't know that the church has teachings on some of these issues, or maybe you don't know what those teachings are, it's very easy to find. The internet can tell you a lot of things. A great place to start is that document that the Vatican released just recently. It's called On Human Dignity. Just Google that, On Human Dignity, and it'll pop up for you, and you can read through it. And really, that document, it's not anything earth-shattering or new, but it just kind of pulls from quotes from past teachings and just kind of organizes it all once more for us just to see that these issues matter because they involve human persons. But at the end of the day, as we continue with this Mass, perhaps we can just pray, particularly for any human person that is not receiving the dignity and the respect that they are owed. Even if you may think they don't deserve it, they're still owed it because they are a human person created by God and redeemed by Christ. So today we pray for peace in the world, for a greater respect for human persons, and a greater understanding of what it means to be human. Amen.